Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking into hour number two. It is the home team on a Tuesday. The full 3 hours tonight as the baseball game scheduled for 5 at Kennesaw has been washed away. And maybe they'll try to play tomorrow, but I mean, the weather tomorrow is ominous too. We'll see.
Here's my prediction. We wind up going over there tomorrow and not playing.
Yeah, I feel like here's my prediction. You're going to go over there tomorrow, and I think there will be some baseball played.
We got a window.
Yeah, but maybe not the whole game. The chance of rain at least goes below 50% by tomorrow afternoon. So,
I mean, I hope we play, but also, what's the high tomorrow? 43?
I think so. I mean, that's 40. Right now it says 46.
I've always been, listen, baseball, golf, and tennis, I'm a speed limit guy. If it's below 55, those are not optimum conditions.
You got Friday 59, Saturday 58, but still rain. And then Sunday with still rain, though, 69 at least for then.
That's crazy weather.
And then George is supposed to play next Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Right now it still says rain on those days.
Oh,
the only
gosh.
Day I'm looking at here on my phone app that on Monday there's only a cloud.
Well, then we're going to play a triple header against three teams on Monday.
That's like an old barn.
What do they call those things?
The high school football.
Yeah,
yeah.
The jamboree.
The jamborees. Yeah. That was it.
I'm going to have just three teams barnstorming through Athens here.
Well, let's see. Brooklyn, LIU Brooklyn.
Jacksonville State and UMass Lowell.
Yeah.
Who did you see their scores from last weekend?
I did. They played Arizona, though.
They did.
And they weren't really close.
Apparently got in a brawl, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think they said one of the Arizona guys was peacocking it on a home run, and they just drilled the next guy.
Well, we brawled with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were here many years ago.
And Coach Perno and Andy Lopez are close friends.
Yeah, but they had been – there was a lot of nonsense. There's, it was the Sunday
Coast,
game, and it just finally boiled over.
Yeah, and again, not saying one's right or one's wrong, but just some of the West Coast, what we would call antics, they can rub you the wrong way.
Yeah, there was one of their guys went in on our catcher, and I just remember like Pizell charged in from third base and got faced.
Well, don't get hurt there.
Yeah, but then the benches cleared. It wasn't a brawl, but the benches did clear. Cooler heads prevail.
Then we had when we played San Diego a couple of years before that. And our third base coach, Doug Sisson, is a very good coach, but that was his first time back. He had been in pro ball his whole career.
Yeah.
He yelled at, next time that happens, you're getting one of your ear holes. Coach Perno had to say, whoa, okay, we can't do that in college.
Well, then who was USC's coach that had played in the big leagues?
Wait, Southern Cal?
We played
coach?
Southern Cal.
Oh, my gosh, and I can't remember.
I don't remember who it was either, but he had played in the big leagues, and all I remember is – in between innings, you know, you're kind of like paying it. The teams are running on and off the field or whatever.
Yes.
And I remember looking down there and like their coach and Doug Sisson were like nose to nose. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember. I got to remember this guy's name.
I remember he was an old big league catcher.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what his name was. But I just remember looking down and, you know, everyone's paying attention to everything else that's going on because you're in between innings and the next, you know, it's like, well, the two of the coaches are about to brawl.
Oh, my gosh. Their coach now, I mean, well, he's come a long way from Rod Dato, but it's a guy named Dan Hubbs.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. Head coaches. Let me find this guy back. Oh, it was Chad Kruder.
That was it.
Yeah. He was only there for 4 seasons.
Yeah, well, he almost got into it with Doug Sisson.
Just because I remember, and this is not knocking Sis, it's just, and this is an example why, And he was a very good coach. He was been coached with Butch Thompson Robert. He's a very good coach, but it's kind of that learning curve. Remember when after first couple of weekends, he's like, all right, hitters, I'm going to see everybody here Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to get in the kit. And Dave's like, whoa, well, listen, these guys got to go to class. Oh, God, I keep forgetting about
that. Yeah.
You know, it's different when you're in pro ball. Like, hey, we got to get some extra BP.
And there's like, what is it, the 20-hour rule?
The 20-hour rule, and then, you know, you get the some of the compliance issues and all. And that's where – and obviously pro coaches in every sport have had success in college, but it's not an automatic. I don't want to say there are necessarily more issues you have to deal with. There's more red tape, and they might not be, you know, in the big picture like Joe Torre would try and tell, you know, trying to keep 20 different millionaires happy on a roster is tough. But at the same time, you know, wait a minute, this guy can't move in with so-and-so until after the semester officially ends. No early hitting. He's like, well, we got the 20-hour rule this week. You know, just there's –
Well, and then even some of like the old school enforcement of the unwritten rules of baseball.
You can't do that now.
You shouldn't be intentionally throwing balls at millionaires, but you especially shouldn't be telling, you know, a kid who's not even on a full scholarship that he might be wearing the next pitch
right,
or something.
Right. So. It's just, I mean, and I can remember when they put in that rule where if the bench is empty, it's like if you get in a fight, like you're suspended, you're done. And like, if it happens twice, you're out for the year.
Yeah.
So you can't afford to do that now.
No.
So it wouldn't happen. Now, there are times, and especially we'll see it too. When it's May and it's hot and it's Sunday afternoon and you've played that same team and they're three tightly contested games and, you know, there are those one or two guys that get under your skin. We had a little dust up over at South Carolina back in 2013. You know, their third baseman said something to Kyle Farmer, and, you know, it had been a tightly contested series, and it happens. That's why, you know, most Major League Baseball brawls are usually in July or August.
Sure.
You know, it's been a long year. It's hot.
You might be out of it already.
And like that Braves Padres, that was on a Sunday. So it's like you played
in August.
Right. So you've played each other you've played each other 4 days in a row. It's 102 degrees, and they're guys under your skin. Now, you can see how dust-ups happen. But, you know, in college, it is to a point the guys might come out of the dugout. But, I mean, I haven't seen, like, a throwdown with fist in, you know.
Oh, in baseball?
Oh, in
no,
college?
In college, no, yeah.
Oh, well over 20 years.
I don't even know. With fist, you don't even really see him in the big leagues anymore. No. There's a lot of hold me back, bros. But let's not forget – there's the drama and the carryover with the Braves and Marlins from Acuña thing next year. I mean, is that the Braves hadn't forgotten about that, I'm sure.
And is that guy, that pitcher, I believe, is going to be their opening day starter. I don't know if they play the Braves or not.
He'd be about – they don't. The Braves – I'm sure – it's the Braves and the Marlins, though. They'll play each other at
– 50 times.
Some point.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the few Marlins that's probably still on their team from a year ago.
So the division schedules now – are you playing 18 games against each division team?
18 or 19.
Golly. So then basically, but the problem is with that is, so that's kind of like it used to be in the National League in the 70s and 80s, but then the deal was you'd play the other teams from the other division 12 times. Is that math right? Yeah, 6 times 18 is, so you'd play, it's 6 times 12, 72, and then 5 times 18 is 90, so that's 162.
The Marlins come to Atlanta April 5th.
So is that the second week?
Yeah. It'll be basically, I think, both teams' third series.
Okay. That won't have been forgotten or forgiven.
Yeah. So if he's their opening day starter, he would probably pitch, like, the second game of their third series, which could put him in line to start the finale against the Braves.
There you go.
So – but, yeah, I mean, that's like a thing, though, in the big leagues. Like, I'm sure the Braves and Marlins are going to have some dust-up early in the series because Atlanta's still mad about that.
Oh, that was funny, too. Then you get in situations like the Giants last year were involved in something, and they had some young player who was just an idiot. And remember, Buster Posey was just sitting in the dugout. He's like, I'm not getting involved in this.
Well, that was when they hit Harper.
Right.
And the guy who had hit him, he was mad from, like, 7 years earlier, Harper had homered off him in the playoffs, and I guess hadn't faced him since. But the guy remembered and just nailed him.
And Buster Posey was just saying,
he did not run out to his defense. Yeah,
no.
I'm looking at, like, the Marlins lineup. Like, I don't know. Starlin Castro played for them last year. That, I mean, I don't even know who's still on that team that even played last year. But the Braves, I guess, are still going to be mad at him. So, some guy that didn't even play for the Marlins last year is probably going to get hit. I'm like, hey, what'd you do that for?
What'd I do, man?
Yeah,
I was playing in the Brewers farm system last year.
All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Sunday, Jeff, marked 1 month until Selection Sunday.
Yes.
We are under 1 month now until Selection Sunday. Who are the number 8 seeds going to be?
The number 8 seeds will be.
Now, you I thought I was going to ask you the 1 seeds are going to be.
I bet you the SEC gets an 8 because I think we're going to get 7 teams in. And I think you'll see maybe number 6, number 7 get around that 8.
Who? All right, Tennessee's in, LSU's in, Kentucky's in.
For sure.
Who else is in? Auburn?
Yes, I think Auburn will play themselves
in. So that's 5?
Is that 4?
Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, Auburn is 4. Okay.
Do you have the standings pulled up by chance?
Yes.
Because then I think, like, what about out of Mississippi State and Florida?
Well, Ole Miss and South Carolina are both 8-4 in the league. They have better. They're 2 games ahead of Auburn in the standings.
But South Carolina, that non-conference record, is going to.
They're 13-12 overall.
It's going to doom them in.
Ole Miss, they're 18-7.
They can play themselves in. What about Alabama?
Alabama's 15-10, 6-6.
They've got a good RPI or whatever they call the thing now.
What about Mississippi State?
What's their record in the league?
6-6.
They could play themselves in.
18-7 overall.
Yeah, I think Florida could play themselves in too.
And Florida's going to be interesting because their record's not great, but they're, you know, they've got a good RPI
name now. Yeah.
Or whatever they're using now in college basketball. But it's not the RPI, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. But I think we're getting 7 in. We'll get. Here's the thing. Tennessee, they're scheduled the rest of the way. It's tough. I don't think that loss for them this past Saturday was that. I mean, Kentucky killed them. I don't think it was like a bad, horrible thing for Tennessee.
I don't either, but our friend Ross yesterday was jumping off that bandwagon. He was no longer a fan of Tennessee.
I mean, that was you could smell that coming after Kentucky had lost, controversial ending.
For sure. Now, Vandy's in trouble tonight.
Tennessee's going to smoke Vandy.
But that's the Tennessee still hasn't played LSU or Auburn.
Saturday they're in Baton Rouge, right?
Yeah.
And then Kentucky still has to come to Knoxville.
And then Tennessee, their last game of the regular season is at Auburn.
So they'll probably lose a couple more, which, again, that's fine. And it's funny to me, though, and I get it wound up being a big number, but this is also one of those deals. Tennessee's kind of an outsider to those blue bloods. If Duke was number 1 and lost, they wouldn't have dropped to number 5.
No. I mean,
especially when it was to Kentucky.
One knock for Tennessee, though, with that idea of them not being a blue blood, though, is their only 2 losses are to Kansas and Kentucky.
Right.
Which kind of reinforces, like, I don't trust them come tournament time to make the Final 4. I still do.
Oh, I do, too.
But I think they're going to – they might end up not being a 1 seed, though, because I could see them taking a couple more losses down the stretch here.
Well, you know Duke's going to be a 1.
Duke's a 1, Virginia's a 1. Virginia's only 2 losses are to Duke. Gonzaga?
They're going to go at West for 1.
So Gonzaga.
And then I think it's either Kentucky or Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The other team, and I know you and I are both high on them, and again, in conference play, you're going to lose some games. I wouldn't want to be 1 seed with Michigan as the 2 in my region. I still think they're one of the best teams.
I do, too, and I was like, all right, Duke lost at Syracuse, which from a name standpoint doesn't seem like a bad loss, but Syracuse is not great this year. Virginia's only 2 losses are to Duke. Kentucky's got a bad loss because they lost to Bama.
They lost to Bama, and Seton Hall beat them in New York.
Yeah.
And it was a great game, but
it's like Tennessee doesn't have a bad loss because they lost to Kansas and Kentucky.
Kansas was overtime.
Michigan did lose to Penn State.
Yeah.
But Virginia's the one team that, they got 2 losses, but they don't have a bad one since it's only been Duke that's beaten them. And I guess Gonzaga doesn't have a bad loss either. They lost to Tennessee and North Carolina.
Right. That's another thing, too. It's like, don't sleep on Carolina. And I think for Kentucky, they've obviously – they got their legs back. I mean, their only loss since Alabama was that 2-pointer to LSU.
Yeah, where they might have been hooked.
I hope they don't put, like, Kentucky and Tennessee in the same region as the 1 and 2.
Yeah, and you end up like that year, even though they weren't 1 and 2 seeds, but Florida and South Carolina played in the Elite Eight.
I wouldn't want them to do it. I still, if you were looking at a power rankings, Duke's the most talented team. You know, as much attention as Zion Williamson gets, and I get it, the guy looks like a superhero in the uniform. And he's that Barrett is incredible, too. But he had a triple-double on Saturday and has scored over 20, I mean, what, like a dozen times?
I mean, I think Barrett is projected possibly to end up going higher in the draft than Zion now.
Zion is the quote-unquote the sexier guy. I think Barrett's got more upside, because what could happen to Zion is, you know, is he a center? You know, is he a little undersized in terms of his height at the four? You know, can he shoot it good enough? He's going to be a really good pro player. I think Barrett's the better bet. And then Zion's a ticket seller.
Yeah. Well, Dabo said he'd play him at quarterback.
Well, that'd be a pretty good move.
Well, he's 6'7", 285, so I guess that's about – I guess Newton doesn't weigh that much, but
yeah, in the
he's big.
Area code.
Yeah. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. Today, Georgia tied Tech in golf. Jeff, is that a good tie or a bad tie?
Well, big picture, we tied for a very prestigious college golf tournament victory. The great Chris Hack with his 61st win. And I think this just kind of proves we had dipped just a little bit for a couple of years after sniffing another national championship, but this team is right back there amongst the very best. It is kind of interesting that it was those guys, which kind of leads me to think, like, maybe, just maybe, our paths will cross again.
In golf or?
Well, in golf, in our – I don't know. We'll be in some of the similar fields, but I just wonder if we'll finally hit it now. Because we've had some big ones. Like, I guess it was in 15, we lost a heartbreaker to LSU in the semifinals. But now that they've gone to the head-to-head, to the match play, I've just got a day like today kind of makes me think that we could see them in match play come May.
I think it's for Georgia, they had been trailing, so to rally and tie, even though you tie, you still get to count it as a win. It feels all right. I think if Georgia had been in the pole position and Tech had caught him, it would feel different, even though you still get a trophy and everything. But I'm okay with ties. Georgia tied Tech today, but they get to still count it as a win.
I think for both teams, they'd probably say, "Oh yeah, it's a little." It's sweet, but I just get the feeling it's Act One. I can compare it to anything, like all the I've gotten to go with Georgia to 4 College World Series. All the trips have been precious. 2006, I bought no souvenirs because Tech and Clemson were there too, and Tech especially. Like, and I don't want to get a T-shirt with a Tech logo, you know. But like, I got one, you know, in 01, 04, and 08, it's like, oh, okay, you got the South Carolina, the Texas, the Cal State Fullerton, the Oregon State, big dude, North Carolina, whatever, because, you know, you get one with all these. I'm like, nah, I didn't buy a thing out there. And it was like, we had this great year, but all I cared about was, like, please let us get further than them.
Right. Well, in 01 and 04, we were the reason Tech wasn't in the
and
College
08.
World Series. And 08 as well.
Yes.
So – but I guess 06, they didn't stick us in a regional with them.
Different sides, yep.
All right, moving on in the 5 at 5. Georgia swept Dayton over the weekend in baseball. What did we learn about the team? Anything?
Well, I think the strengths of this Georgia team, Chris, going to be the pitching and a really good infield. And Cam Shepard was terrific. Patrick Sullivan, who's done everything right, getting his time at first base. He had 8 RBIs. Cam had a stretch where he reached base 9 out of 10 times. Mason Meadows is really good at catcher. There's some talent in the outfield, certainly. I think the big thing we're going to miss between McGovern, Curry, and Sasser, all three of those guys hit at least 319, and they combined for 41 homers and 147 RBIs. So we're not going to get that power. That being said, I do think on this team, Chris, that we might have, say, 7 or 8 guys who hit between 5 and 8 home runs. So you're not going to have those monster power numbers. But I think for this team to be really good, we're probably on the weekends in the league, and we play Tech and Clemson. We're going to have to win some 3-2 and 4-3 and 2-1 games. But I like the pitching. I'm telling you, Emerson.
Pitching's good enough to do that?
I think so. Emerson Hancock, Will Proctor, and Tony Losey were lights out. Shepherd and Shunk are special on the left side. You know, Tally swings a good bat. And again, for Sullivan, a kid who's just done everything right, it's finally his time. And he had a tremendous weekend.
All right, moving on, 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Antonio Brown, He is he's on his way out of Pittsburgh. Is there a team that is one player away, and that player is Antonio Brown?
Unless he gets to the Patriots.
Well, they're not there. They're zero players away.
No, yeah. I saw something, and this is one of those clickbait things. There was a reporter – I was just going through scores on ESPN, and her stance was, why, I can make a case that the Raiders will win the AFC West. And I'm thinking, well, you could make your case, but you have no case. They have zero chance to win the AFC West.
Yeah, so, I mean, the best case for them is it is a division. There are only four teams.
That's right.
And they only play 16 games.
That's exactly right. So maybe if the Chiefs and Chargers, I don't know if Mahomes and Phillip Rivers decide they want to go play Major League Baseball, maybe. For Brown, would it be a franchise like the Raiders? You know, if you're somebody, speaking of the Chargers, do the Chargers feel like maybe could that guy be the guy to get him over the hump? The point is, it's very rare that it's a wide receiver who does that, and especially a guy who's got a high maintenance level. I mean, what you need for a wide receiver, it's like when the Patriots got Randy Moss, we've got everything. This guy's an add-on.
Absolutely. It's just a nice little accompanying piece.
We've already got two good receivers. Now we got three.
Right. You've already got a team good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
And maybe he can get you to win the Super Bowl, but you've got to be good enough to already be there. So I think for something like maybe Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, they've been in playoffs 2 years in a row. The betting favorite is the Niners.
They win 5 games last year?
Yeah, but that's
now, Garoppolo was hurt. Okay.
Yeah, but I looked up because I'm like, you know what? Like the Padres starting rotation, I don't think I could name a 49ers receiver. Jerry Rice, John Taylor,
Dwight Clark, Freddie Solomon,
Terrell Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
So look, they had a tight end, George Kittle, who caught 93
really
passes.
Yeah.
But it's a tight end. They had a fullback who caught 30.
Was it Roger Craig?
It was not Roger Craig.
So, Tom Rathman.
So basically, when it comes, their leading receiver was Kendrick Bourne.
Wide receivers?
Yeah. Out of wide receivers, yes.
So is San Francisco, I know this sounds nuts because they won 5 games and the Rams were just in the Super Bowl and Seattle has been darn good in the decade of the 2010s. I mean, could they win that division? Hey, I picked them to win it this year. I'll admit it. And Jimmy GQ got hurt. But, are they good enough to make the playoffs? And I think that's the thing with Brown. Could he take a team like San Francisco, if Garoppolo's healthy and playing good enough, could he get them, say, a wild card? Maybe.
Yeah, with Shanahan's offense?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's one team where I don't know that it's like, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. But, based on when you look at their breakdown of their distribution of targets and passes last year. When you're an NFL team and your fifth most targeted receiver is a fullback, then you could make a case Antonio Brown would definitely be a step up.
Because if you think about it, the contenders, against the Pats, Kansas City offense isn't their problem. That'd be a horrible move for them. The Chargers, yeah, I mean, I don't think offense is their problem.
No, I mean, they've got Keenan Allen. And
yeah, so they don't need to do that. It's Baltimore. They got a young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. That's the last thing he needs. I've heard that. And plus, Pittsburgh's not going to let him go to their arch nemesis. Nobody in the AFC East. He couldn't go make a difference. Again, unless the Pats wanted to bolster themselves. So from the NFC, to me, Philadelphia would make sense. Green Bay, Rodgers, but that's, offense still isn't their problem.
No. Even the idea of the Falcons being in play for him. To me, it's he would ruin the Falcons.
He would. So they've already got Julio. You got a young Calvin. The Falcons need another offensive lineman. The Falcons need another good inside linebacker. The Falcons need a couple of good corners.
They need also a – An edge rusher,
Jeff. An edge rusher, yes. The Falcons have the nice cars. Atlanta's got to fix the basement in the attic.
Yeah, they've got to sign Grady Jarrett.
Yes.
Or explore that either in the draft or free agency, the interior defensive line.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, you keep Jarrett. And then you get some help, too.
Yeah.
And there's so many linemen in this. To me, it's no-brainer. They go D-line in the front. There's potentially 13, 14 defensive linemen going in the first round.
Yeah, like, honestly, these mock drafts that keep having the Falcons grabbing Ed Oliver, I think would be a great pick for a guy who was, this time a year ago, sort of thought of as maybe the top prospect in the draft.
Could be Warren Sapp.
Yeah, if you grab him at 13, 14, whatever it is exactly, I think it's 13 where the Falcons are picking, that'd be a good pick. And then, you know, have your pick, maybe in free agency, you got DeMarcus Lawrence, Jadeveon Clowney's a free agent. D. Ford is out there, too, although he's the reason why the Patriots won another Super Bowl. If he's onside,
Auburn guy,
that's a pick, game's over, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl.
100% yeah. Correct. D. Ford.
Yep, just Auburn scum.
Yeah, took a cheap shot on Aaron Murray.
He did. All right, that's today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.